All the update news headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast am I.
Tynwald has unanimously approved new regulations introducing shared parental leave on the Isle of Man. The change allows mothers and fathers to share up to 50 weeks of leave during the first year after a child's birth or adoption. Meanwhile, Tynwald has approved a motion from Onchan MHK Julie Edge to form a new select committee on whistleblowing. In calling for the committee, she argued it will provide critical scrutiny of how government policies are being implemented and how whistleblowers are treated. A public meeting was held last night about Manx Utilities plans to build a sewage treatment works in Axenfell Plantation and 5 pumping stations. It had been called to help inform the decision made by Garth commissioners on whether or not to support the planning application. Chair Stan Rysak says the planning application is the only option available to discuss.
We'll take the information we've got from everybody that spoke tonight and see if they come back to us with any alternatives they want to put in for the planning application. If they do, we can then look at that and pass it forward to the MUA. But the meeting was, I think, good in the respect that people had their say. People have got to have their say.
And the Manx National Farmers Union president is set to retire this month. Ian Parsons has led the organisation for 4 years and was vice chair for 2 years before that. Further afield, the UK Health Secretary has criticised the decision by resident doctors in England to go on strike next month. Members of the BMA are walking out over pay and a lack of job security, but Wes Streeting says staging industrial action isn't constructive.
These strikes are completely unnecessary and wholly irresponsible. They risk harming patients, setting back the progress we're making in the NHS, and putting enormous pressure on other NHS staff as we approach winter.
A former paratrooper has been found not guilty of 2 murders and 5 attempted murders on Bloody Sunday. 13 people were shot dead at a civil rights march in Derry, Londonderry in January 1972. And Strictly Come Dancing is in for its biggest ever shake-up. Presenters Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman have announced they're leaving at the end of the current series. They headlines News at 6.
Goramaya Siobhan, let's go to the weather. Often cloudy with a few showery outbreaks of rain to start, then sunny interval. Further blistery showers overnight, I should say. Then tomorrow morning, the showers easing away by late morning, allowing sunny spells to develop. Moderate winds settling to a fresh to strong northwesterly. Top temperature 12 Celsius. Sunshine and blistery showers on Saturday with a strong northwest wind. Highest temperature 11 Celsius, but feeling colder in that wind.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
Carroll's Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the North for over 30 years, supplying homegrown wheats, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Carroll's on Facebook.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
We'll be going live with Christian Jones in the Tynwald Chamber very soon. But first of all, let's talk about the area plan for the north and west, which was rejected by Tynwald yesterday. And now the Minister for the Cabinet Office hopes members will take time and reflect before it's brought back for a combined vote next month. The proposal would have guided future development across Ramsey, Peel, Michael and the surrounding parishes, but it's proved controversial, with many speaking out against it. In the court, the vote was 14-4, 17 against, with the Legislative Council ultimately guiding the outcome. Christian Jones questioned the Minister, David Ashford, after the sitting.
Well, we knew it was going to be potentially close. When you talk about anything to do with planning, passions run high, as I said in my closing remarks there and my opening remarks as well. It is something that quite rightly generates passion amongst people. And, you know, people have to make their decision on where they believe they wanted to go with the area plan.
And you've asked for a combined vote. If the numbers hold as they've done today, that would still be a defeat for the government.
It would. The numbers quite clearly would come to 14, 4 and 17 against, I think, if you held a combined vote on the numbers today. But what I think is important, and the reason that combined vote process is there, is to allow time for reflection, for people to get together, to talk to one another, to see if there is anything that would reassure people, or in fact, indeed, if there's not. And I think the important thing is that we take that month's reflection on something as important as this is, and actually speak to colleagues to see if there is anything that reassures them, or in fact, if there isn't any reassurance that can be given and we understand the position properly.
So your job between now and then is to try and convince as many of LegCo to vote with the government?
Well, actually, my job isn't to convince people to vote. I think we are all parliamentarians in there, and you've heard the debates that we have. We all make our own minds up. I don't think someone is going to be able to convince people one way or the other. What I need to do is listen to members, speak to members, and see where their views actually lie, and if there is reassurance that we can give, or indeed there isn't reassurance we can give.
The Minister for the Cabinet Office, David Ashford, talking to Christian Jones, who we can now join live from the Timwell Chamber. It has certainly been a busy few days this week, some very significant moments. Christian, Fastamai, what's been happening?
Yeah, Fastamai, Dave. Well, as we just heard, when we last spoke, we were in the middle of the North West Area Plan debate. That turned out to be quite a significant vote, as we just heard. That plan is a pretty key piece of government policy, and what was a pretty unexpected and shocking turn of events, the government was defeated by LegCo, no less.
So, okay then, so what were the main problems with it?
Well, ultimately, it came down to concerns about some of the fundamentals, the data on housing need. There were some serious questions about whether the existing infrastructure could actually cope with such a change. So it is a pretty dominant display by LegCo. The Cabinet Office has called for that combined vote. If the numbers do hold true, then the government would still be left in a bit of a tough spot, to be honest. But as we heard, David Ashford told me, now is the time for members to reflect.
Well, yeah, it was certainly a bit of an unexpected result, to say the least. Let's switch gears to an issue that always has emotions running high. And we heard it a lot this week. In fact, I've heard someone in the newsroom saying, oh, not whistleblowing again. But yeah, whistleblowing. A new select committee has been formed. But this came right after the government released a new policy that seemed to cause a stir.
Yeah, that's right. So Onken MHK Julie Edge brought forward the motion to establish a committee, and it was timely because the government had only just published this updated whistleblowing policy, and that raised a few eyebrows in itself. The main sticking point was the language in it, that strongly discourages public servants from going to the media or politicians, warning that they likely wouldn't be protected. And critics like Ms. Edge felt this language was threatening and would simply drive genuine whistleblowers underground or straight to an employment tribunal. The Chief Minister defended the policy. He did concede that the wording needed to be revisited, though, and he proposed an amendment agreeing to set up a committee, but he wanted 5 members instead of 3, and that was what ultimately was voted for.
Incredibly, I remember whistleblowing, reporting on whistleblowing in government 25 years ago, and here we are, a quarter of a century later, still talking about it. Okay, lastly, perhaps a more positive note for many, shared parental leave was approved.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was an easy win for the government, an important one for working families too. Timwald unanimously approved regulations to introduce shared parental leave, which means parents can divide up to 50 weeks of leave between them during the child's first year. And it brings the Isle of Man up to speed with the UK system. It's actually also a rare moment of universal agreement in Timwald.
OK, so that is it for Timwald. How is the rest of the paper looking?
So we're currently on the minimum wage debate. That could go one of two ways. If there's anything yesterday taught us, I suppose the Enterprise Minister may have some reservations about the way that vote could go. We know that there's been a lot of chatter, a lot of criticism from people like the Chamber of Commerce, from various businesses about how members should vote. So I presume that will be one which the minister may be a little bit on edge about, but that we'll have to wait and see.
And you may be going a little bit stir crazy in the chamber for a third day here. If you cast your mind back to Tuesday, we did suggest that it might go on into Friday. Is that going to happen?
I think it's very unlikely that will happen. We are on item 44 at the moment. There's 48 items in total. If it does go on, I would think there's been a significant amount of filibustering, perhaps. But I think we're safe in the third day. The fourth day doesn't look likely at all.
Christian Jones, thank you very much. Reporting there live for Manx Radio from the Timbrel Chamber. Now then. A public meeting was held last night about Manx Utilities' plans to build a sewage treatment works in Axenfell Plantation, along with five pumping stations. It had been called to help inform the decision. This is the meeting, of course, had been called to inform the decision made by Garv commissioners on whether or to support the planning application. MUA Executive Director Tim Wokes and Ian George from the consultancy firm Arcadis said it was great to hear the opinions of the local residents at the meeting.
Yes, yeah, certainly. So the comment was that we were a very large consultancy, not based in the UK, and our incentive was to maximise our profits. That's clearly not the case, and hopefully I made quite an impassioned position statement on that we've never been given a steer by Manx Utilities at all in terms of a solution to this. We've used our professional judgment at all times. We've made some hard decisions along with Manx Utilities, and our commitment is completely towards the residents of Garth, Laxey, Baldrine to make sure that the quality of life and the bathing waters improve.
And obviously what was really mentioned in the meeting here tonight was bathing water status and about how that could be improved upon. So would you be able to explain about how this is going to benefit that?
So we've done a huge amount of work looking at how our proposal will impact on bathing water. We've brought in experts, people who have been involved in the creation of European legislation, people who really know what they're talking about, and that they support our views that what we're proposing will give Garth the standard of bathing water that they deserve. We've been set a directive to achieve the good level of bathing water standard. We actually believe what we're proposing won't prevent an excellent standard being achieved. Now, of course, we can't guarantee that because it's not only sewage discharges that can impact on bathing water. We may find that bathing water is impacted by what comes in through the river. But what we're saying is our infrastructure will not prevent that good standard at the very least being achieved. And we're extremely confident that we'll do that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Junior 600 and ultra lightweight classes will be introduced into the Classic TT next year. Rob Pritchard has this report.
The Junior 600, which will feature pre-injection 600cc supersport machines, will get its own three-lap race during next year's meeting on Wednesday, the 26th of August. Meanwhile, the ultra-lightweight category will involve 400cc supersport and 125cc two-stroke machinery being combined into the lightweight Classic TT race on the same day. The likes of Honda CBR600Fs, early Yamaha R6s, Suzuki GSX-R600s and Kawasaki ZX6Rs from the 1990s are expected to be part of the Junior 600 race. Any bikes in that class will also be able to qualify for the separate Senior Classic TT race, giving Junior 600 riders the chance to race along with Formula One and lightweight competitors. Elsewhere, Supersport 400cc machines did feature in the lightweight classic race this year, but did not have their dedicated own category. Meanwhile, an updated proposed version of the 2026 Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix schedule has been issued, which remains subject to road closure approval. Both meetings will run parallel to one another between Sunday the 16th of August and Friday the 28th of August. You can view the proposed 2026 Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix programme at manxradio.com.
And Rob will be back with a full sports roundup in around 10 minutes' time. A telecommunications company in the Isle of Man has rebranded and partnered up with a business in Bahrain that focuses on technology. Shaw will now be known as Shaw by Bayan and says it will spend £100 million towards total investment in digital infrastructure across the Channel Islands. Chief Executive Officer Alistair Beak and Bayan CEO Sheikh Mohammed bin Khalifa spoke to Chanel Sekou.
We're now known as Shaw by Bayan, which signifies the ambition and the speed with which we're changing, actually. The investments that we're making in new networks, which we've also announced today, the rollout of a brand new 5G network during 2026 here in the Isle of Man as well, and that we're also part of a bigger group. A family of companies that's called Bayan.
And we have seen and witnessed the growth the show has achieved in the islands and the Isle of Man. And it's great to be here and to witness the reveal of the new brand. Not only that, but also the announcement on the future investments that's been planned for the next 5 years.
You said that you've noticed the work being done by shore on the island, and you noticed that the island was a good place for investment. Mm. Can you elaborate more further on that?
Yeah, if I may speak from the heart. It's different when, for example, Alistair speaks about Shure, because you know he's part of the company. But me coming in and witnessing what's been happening from kind of an outsider point of view, I was very impressed by a number of things. One, the quality of the team here. The people working for Shure are committed, very talented, and very connected to the community. And then the sense of community and being rooted in the community, and not only thinking of the business, but also thinking of what is good for the islands in the future is very remarkable. You know, a lot of these investments would take a lot of time to yield the kind of the return. But Shure knows that this is the right thing to do, not only for Shure, but also for the community and for the businesses and for the economy.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, the Manxburn is approaching Douglas Harbour and should be docking in the next 5 minutes. Down at the airport, there is a delay or two to mention. We'll talk about departures first. The Aer Lingus to Dublin, which was due to leave at 5:20, is now looking like 8:10. Logan Air's Liverpool service is on time at 6:00. However, EasyJet's Gatwick flight, which was due to go at 5:05, has now been put back to 8:50. Check-in on time as normal, though, despite those delays. In terms of arrivals into the island, the 4:50 Aer Lingus, that's when it was due to come in from Dublin, is now looking at 7:25. The Logan Air Manchester is due any moment now and is on time. The London Gatwick EasyJet, obviously we talked about the delay leaving, that's because it's delay in arriving, that's now due in at 8:20, almost 2 hours behind schedule. Liverpool Logan Air is on time at 7:55, and the London City Logan Air is on time at 8:10 this evening.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The president of the Manx National Farming Union is set to retire this month. Ian Parsons will vacate the role after 4 years in charge. He spoke to Kiri Kermode.
I think it's time. Done 4 years. I was vice for 2 years before that, so there's a really, really good team in the NFU, and it's not one person that leads it by any shape or form. It's very much a team from board to Sarah and Carolyn. They're fantastic. So it's very much a team effort. It's not one person that leads it.
And what have you enjoyed most over the 4 years? You'll have seen a lot of documents come over your desk, you know, relating to all aspects of agriculture.
Oh, that's a tricky one. I've enjoyed working with the membership. We've got, you know, a really good bunch of farmers out there that produce a fantastic product. So it's really good to be working with those people. It's good to try and get some of the schemes over the line. It takes a lot of doing. We've seen a little bit of progress with the shipping report in trying to help with product coming on and off the Isle of Man. We've seen a bit of a change in some of the support structures and trying to sort of target more active farmers. I think it's important that it's the active farmer that receives any kind of support rather than just people that are just maybe not producing maybe to the same level. It needs to be targeted in the right direction. A lot of frustrations on the way. I feel at times got a big flat spot in my head where you feel like you're banging your head against the brick wall. We've had times where it's been quite frustrating dealing with government, though more latterly, certainly last couple of years, we've maybe had a more proactive arrangement with government and working with government. So let's hope that continues.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Elderly people feel it safe to walk the island streets at night? Yesterday afternoon, I put that question to a number of senior citizens who were enjoying the sunshine while walking along Douglas Promenade.
First of all, what age group are you in? Your 50s, 60s, 70s?
70s.
Okay, and is this something you do often, walk along Douglas Promenade?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Because?
It's just so nice. Yeah, it's nice and pleasant. Lovely to be by the seaside and just watching the horse trams there. Yeah. It's great.
Would you walk along here at 10 o'clock at night?
No.
Why not?
Not anymore. We don't go out as much, that's for one reason, but I don't know, you just don't feel it's quite as safe as it used to be, maybe.
You're in your 80s.
Well, I am.
She's 80. Nearly.
Okay. So you're obviously out enjoying the sunshine on Douglas Prom.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. Lovely.
Would you come back along here at 10 o'clock at night?
No.
Why not?
I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock.
Okay, let's make it 9.
No, I don't think so.
Because?
Not this day and age. Well, I don't know. You hear too much of what's going on. People, I just
might not feel as safe as we would like to feel.
Not the risks.
No, not at our age.
If there was a police presence, maybe a better police presence?
Definitely. They ought to be out much more than they are.
You wouldn't feel safe walking along the prom at night?
No.
Not in the dark?
No. I'd be frightened of being mugged or just made afraid.
Even here in the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
It isn't what it was when we were young.
You're in your 80s.
Yeah.
And obviously just sat here in the Sunken Gardens enjoying the sunshine.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do this quite often?
Yes, when the sun's out, yes.
Would you come here at night, say at 10 o'clock at night?
No.
Why not?
Well, at our age, you know, you don't know who's about then. So, no, I wouldn't come at night.
If you felt safer, you'd like to come in?
Yes, if it was safer, but it's not, I don't think, at night.
10 o'clock at night, would you walk along Douglas Promenade?
Not on my own.
Why not?
Well, you don't know, do you, what'll happen?
You don't feel safe, is what you're saying?
Well, I do, but more than the UK, but it's getting a bit like this.
So you think twice about walking along Douglas Prom at 9 o'clock at night, in the dark?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd feel safer walking along the ram in the back streets. But...
What age group are you in? 60s, 70s, 80s?
80s, I'm afraid.
And enjoying the walk along here on Douglas Promenade?
Yeah, I thought I'd get out seeing the sun was shining.
Can I ask you, would you walk along here at night at, say, 9 o'clock?
No, probably not.
Why not?
I just don't go out at night. Nowhere to go.
But would you feel safe enough, though?
Yes, probably. Yeah.
So there's the views of a number of elderly residents on Douglas Promenade yesterday. We've had a response from the police and they say, in the recent Chief Constable's annual report, we advise that the Isle of Man is comparably one of the safest places in the British Isles. Although the reporting of isolated incidents can sometimes make people feel less safe, we, the police, fully understand this. There are currently no indications that the overall safety of our community has fundamentally changed. Going for a stroll on the promenade, even late into the evening, is an activity undertaken by many members of the public and is a perk of Manx living. The information in the news report you've just heard was obtained from a small demographic and is difficult to analyse on its own. We are aware that following recent surveys, another around this subject is planned by DHA, which will provide updated insight into feelings of safety across a range of areas and age groups. The last survey of this nature was carried out in April-May 2024 and reflected that the vast majority felt safe or very safe generally. And whilst there are no apparent crime trends around the Douglas Promenade areas that have been identified, as always, we would encourage anybody with information to contact police on 631212 or 999 in an emergency. You are listening to Update on Manx Radio, and today's guest on Manx Radio's Man in Line was Energy Transition Advisor Dave Quirk of not-for-profit organisation Energy and Sustainability Centre Isle of Man. During the programme, he was asked about what appears to be a rise in the cost of producing green power.
I think it's 85% of the new power generation in the world last year was, of course, solar and wind. Actually, wind being more or less equal to solar. Of course, the reason that power companies in Northern Europe, you would say the wind companies are suffering, is because there's been a strange market where storage has not been part of it. And that will change. And again, that's something we're working with other islands is, if you need to combine wind with storage, and then you have a dispatchable resource. And so if everybody's producing wind at the same time, which has been an increasing problem, then the price goes down when the power is being produced. And then there's a very high price when there isn't wind. So it's balancing that is the key thing. Now, the other way of doing it is bringing in solar from south, but of course that won't work at night. So it's just, you know, it was a cheap form of electricity up to 50% of power, and now it's the storage is the next step.
And we now move on to sport, and at the news desk is Rob Pritchard. Fast am I,
Dave. First off tonight in cycling, Manx pro rider Matthew Bostock and Great Britain missed out on medals in the 2025 UCI Track World Championships last night. Bostock featured alongside Will Tidball, Josh Charlton and Charlie Tanfield during the men's team pursuit event in Santiago, Chile yesterday. The British Quarter navigated their way through qualifying but were then beaten in round one by Australia in the third heat. A dominant Australian performance saw them control the showdown to eventually cross the line just over 5 seconds clear of their GB opponents. There was positivity elsewhere though for Great Britain on Wednesday. The trio of Matthew Richardson, Joseph Truman and Hamish Turnbull claimed silver in the men's team sprint, beaten only by the Netherlands in the final, whilst the women's sprint squad also took silver. More generally, Bostock is part of a 7-strong team contesting the men's endurance events at the championships, which are running until Sunday. Elsewhere, Isle of Man Golf Union has confirmed its schedule of competitions for 2026. The programme of events will run from the spring meeting at Douglas Golf Club on Sunday, the 26th of April next year, through to the autumn meeting at the Comus at Mount Murray on Sunday, the 18th of October 2026. Among the fixtures, the 2026 Isle of Man Championships will be held at Rowney Golf Club with qualifiers and the women's plate between the 4th and 6th of July, ahead of the finals on Sunday, the 12th of July. Elsewhere, next year's 72-hole stroke play championships will take place over 2 weekends, with the first on the 8th and 9th of August and the second on the 15th and 16th of August. Other meetings include the WA Kirkpatrick Trophy at Rowney Golf Club on Sunday the 14th of June and the Isle of Man Senior Championships at Douglas a week later on the 21st of June. You can see the full programme of Isle of Man Golf Union fixtures at manxradio.com. And in hockey, Harlequins A have moved at least temporarily up to fourth in the mixed Premier League table. The Douglas-based side took a comprehensive 5-0 win over Vikings B at the NSC in Douglas last night. As a result, Harlequins move on to 6 points and only behind Valkyries A in third by virtue of goal difference. Meanwhile, Vikings B remain second from bottom in the top flight following this latest defeat with one victory from their opening 6 matches.